What's up, you amazing listeners and viewers tuning in from whichever platform you like to get your podcast from. I'm your host, Chronic, from the Cannabis Chronicles on all major streaming platforms, as well as the host of this wonderful show brought to us by Atlas Seed Company and the Autoflower Review. Be sure to smack that like button, comment down below any questions you have, and subscribe or turn that follow along from whichever platform you're tuning in from to show these sponsors some major love. Now, in today's episode, I'm going to be teaching all of you how to properly harvest your autoflowers, dry, cure, all of that fun stuff, storing for long term, and then some tips, tricks, and extras on extractions, maybe doing infusions or creating stuff like green dragon tincture, which you can make RSO out of. So let's kind of break into it. Now, if you have any questions whatsoever, I would definitely head over to the Autoflower Review Discord. I'm very active on posting in the MSNL featured section, the Canatrol section, and the Autopot section. You can ask me pretty much questions there. You can tag me on the Cannabis Chronicles on Discord as well, and you can just ask me questions on the server in general chat and stuff. But there's tons and tons of information over there. So if you have any questions about anything I discussed today, or if you want a more in-depth version of what I'm discussing, definitely check out the Discord because I'm there often and I can answer questions if you have any questions. It's just easier to get in contact with me. And if you have any questions on any of the stuff that I talk about today, like all the extractions, botanical stuff, and infusions, and RSO, green dragon, tincture, all that fun stuff, just like I mentioned, again, head over to the Autoflower Discord. I don't mean to beat it into you guys, but we're trying to build it. Discord's a great server to chat, and it's easy to talk over there. So now without further ado, let's break into this and how to harvest your autoflowers from the point of cutting them down. Whether you should hang dry them, store them in a one of the little shelf dry hangers, or buy a product. Now, let's talk about when you should be harvesting. That's the first step. So first and foremost, you need to grow your autoflowers out to a point where they are creating trichomes and maturing the trichomes to an amber ratio. These amber ratios will forever be up for debate. There is a very good starting point that I'm going to give all of you growers for a euphoric to more body locking effect. So these effects are known as indica and sativa for the most of the growers. And it's not necessarily how you should be describing the effects or naming them. Sativa and indica don't necessarily make a difference on how these effects necessarily go. Terpenes present in the cannabis, trichome maturity, the ratio of amber to cloudy to milky to clear, it all makes a difference in your effects upon consumption. You could take a very sativa-esque, smoke and really mature the trichomes to like 20% amber, and next thing you know, it's a couch locking strain because it has that more body lock effect to it because you matured the trichomes out. So let's start the more amber the trichomes are, the more body locking it's going to be, the more kind of like relaxing to the body, couch locking, that indica feeling, as you know, most people call it. The more clear to cloudy with less amber is going to be your more euphoria or your more go, artsy stuff in the mind, gets you kind of energetic. Sometimes that makes people anxious. So to start, if you're growing a sativa like strain or a coastal like strain, like a Haze, a Jack Herrera, a Durban, any of those, you can start with what I like is a 10 to 12% ratio of amber. Not really anything more, not really anything less. And how do you even view these trichomes? Because they're so tiny. Well, the best thing to do is just use a very inexpensive jeweler's loop. You need 12 times, or 7 times, or 7 times, 12 times, or 24 times. Any of those, or anything stronger, is really great. But 7 times works perfect. 12 times works perfect. But you just basically, I use the jeweler's loop, and I like use my phone camera to zoom in. Like I put the jeweler's loop on the back of the camera as like it magnifies the camera. Some people can just straight up just look through the jeweler's loop if you have good enough vision and all that fun stuff. And then you could also get like one of the big magnifying glasses as well. You're just checking the trichome heads. So if you go check out my Instagram, I've posted some trichome shots before, and I'll be posting some more trichome shots here in the future as I continue to age plants and, you know, mature plants out. But the heads of the trichomes will become amber, and through the pistil stem or through the pistol stem, through the trichome stem, it'll start to amber out as well. What you're looking for is mainly the heads going amber. And in the little group that you're checking and the spots that you check, you're just looking at the ratio of trichomes and just roughly guesstimating that, okay, 10 or 12% of those are amber. And then check another spot to make sure, okay, 10 to 12% of those are amber. Now, when you're checking your bud, you want to check the actual bud. Don't check leaves, don't check fan leaves, don't check sugar leaves that are extended. Check the actual bud, the trichomes sitting and residing on the bud, because the trichomes on the sugar leaves or the fan leaves that are extended, those are going to mature much faster, and you're going to get an improper reading on your maturity. I usually check up to three spots on each cola, and I check up to three colas or four colas of the main colas, and I see where they're at maturity-wise, and I base my decision off that. If I'm growing a more couch-locking strain, like a Gorilla Glue, a Diesel, or something just more hefty to wanting to couch-lock me, like a Blue Dream or a Blueberry, I'll go 20% to 25% amber. That's generally like the couch locking range that I like. So your euphoria is your 10 to 12% range of amber. Your couch locking is about anything over, but generally my ideal range is 20 to 25%. That's just personal. Terpenes present in bud are definitely going to make these effects more potent if you're growing bud based on the terpenes and the profiles, and then you're maturing it with those terpenes and profiles as they're supposed to be matured, or not supposed to be, but like what will maximize their potency at medical benefits. So that just comes into looking up what kind of strain you have and all that fun stuff. Now, once you are ready to harvest, you have a few options. Are you limited on space? Do you have enough space to have a small tent or a small space to grow or to hang your plants like in a closet? If you're hanging your plants in a closet in the open without exhaust fans or anything like that, just know your house, your room, it will reek of cannabis. Okay, the dry stage is probably one of the smelliest processes of the entire bit of cannabis. So you really want to make sure you have either fans scrubbing the room or something to help with the smell if you're worried about smell. That's why I recommend getting like a 2x2x4, a 3x3x6, or a 4x4 to dry your cannabis in. You simply just need an open tent that you can clean and wipe down every time. You can get some hangers and just hang your plants full upside down. Now, the options for hanging, and personally, I prefer hang drying. However, I'm using the Cannatrol right now. So I'm drying and curing in the Cannatrol, and I'm dialing in that process because it overall is supposed to actually hold in the medical benefits and terpenes and cure everything 10 times better. So I'm putting it to the test, and that's how I'm drying currently. But up until this point, I hang dry almost all of my plants. I think I've maybe only dried one of them on a rack thing before, and I didn't like it. So all of my plants have been hang dried and mostly full plants because I'm in a very dry environment. Our relative humidity most time through the year is about 30 to 40% relative humidity with a little jumps here and there when it rains or snows. So you have to base your dry circumstances off of where you live. If you're in a humid place with roughly over 50% relative humidity in your atmosphere, you're going to want to do a wet trim and take all the fan leaves off and then hang dry your plant instead of leaving the fan leaves on to create moisture in the atmosphere to basically help create that perfect environment, right? If you are in a really moist atmosphere, you may even want to buck your buds into as short of stems as possible and hang them as individual stems and try to rid the main stem as much as you can, basically getting all the moisture out that you can out of the room. And in that case, you might even need to do a dehumidifier, which if you're going to do a big dehumidifier, then you don't have to buck your stem short. You can keep it all in one. You can slow dry. Essentially, what you're aiming at is a 10 to 14 day dry time. You want a very low and slow dry time unless you're using something like a Cannatrol or an Herbs Now dryer thing. I've heard those work good. I haven't used them personally, so I'm not going to speak on that, but growers have suggested them to me, okay? But the Cannatrol has like a 3 or 4 day dry stage thing that it goes through and then the cure stage. So unless you're using products that are dialed in to do those things and they show that they work and they are working right, you know, no haze smell, proper terpene profiles, proper effects, potency, blah, 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 the whole nine yards, then you're good. But most growers who are just hang drying your plants or drying your plants in a normal tent or setting, you're aiming at 10 to 14 day dry time, with 12 days to 14 days being ideal. 14 days is really being that mark. The low and slow dry is probably the best for curing and drying cannabis in those methods. If you're in too dry of an atmosphere and your bud isn't putting enough moisture out for the entire 14-day period, you may need to consider a humidifier for your space. So these are the things that you just need to consider. The proper range and environment for drying should relatively be 45 to 55% humidity. I think 58.2% relative humidity is like supposedly like the best or something like that. There's a specific dew point that I'm not familiar with, but I believe like 58% is like the ideal marker. But roughly 45 to 55% relative humidity is an ideal range for any home grower to hit or reach for their atmosphere every day of dry time. You want about anywhere from a 68 degree Fahrenheit to 72 degree Fahrenheit temperature. 65 to 68 degrees is definitely the sweet range. You kind of want it a little more cooler. You do want your cannabis drying in the dark. You do want to cut harvest in the dark. That is better for the terpenes and trichomes and things like that. So there is science behind harvesting in darkness and keeping your plants in the dark. If you can't do it, you can't do it. It's not going to degrade exponentially. I mean, it does do some damage, but it's not going to destroy your product or take it down. You probably won't notice it on the, you know, I don't even know. I don't, depending on how much light gets into it, you may notice it. You may not notice it. I don't know. You know, personally, I've harvested plants in the dark. I've harvested plants in the light as a home grower. And I don't really necessarily notice it on the small scale. Maybe if I really sat down and I had it side by side comparisons where I, you know, consumed something that was harvested in the dark for a full week, took a week break, and then harvested something in the light, or harvested something that was harvested in the light and saw how it worked with my pain, maybe then I could tell. But to be honest, I really can't tell. Okay. So the idea is, the ideal setup: harvest your plants in the dark, hang dry them for 10 to 14 days in the 68 to 72 degree Fahrenheit atmosphere at 45 to 55% relative humidity, utilizing a dehumidifier, humidifier if you need one. And once you're good, you will, at the 10 to 12 day mark, you'll start doing the bend to snap test, which most home growers know what that is. If you don't know what it is, it's very simple. Your branches should bend but not snap completely off. There should still be a little rigidity to them, but they should be dry enough to where they just bend and kind of create like a little mark, and they're just, you can feel that they're bent now, but they're not snapping off like they're frail and dry. So there's many videos out there that you guys can check out on online, just like people doing the bend to snap test if you need to see it visually. But it's very, very simple. And once you have the bend to snap and your humidity's pretty good with your bud, you'll go ahead and buck all your bud. You'll trim it up. Save all that nice trim that has all the trichomes on it, because you can use it for hash. You can use it for infusing the edibles. You can use it for lots of stuff. I generally store it in freezer bags and put it in the freezer. So once you trim all your bud, you get it really pretty, which trimming your bud is just manicuring to the shape of the bud. There's no, you really, to be honest, you can do a loose trim. If you don't mind having a little extra like plant matter in your bud for the trichomes and the medical benefits, then that's fine. It'll definitely taint the taste of some bowls, because sugar leaves have more chlorophyll in them and leaves have more chlorophyll. So that's, as long as you're aware of that, it's not a problem. I'm a loose trimming person, just because, like, for one, I don't want to spend hours and hours and hours trimming bud. I want to, like, not to say, like, I know I grew it for months and months and I should trim it nicely. Certain buds I will trim super nice and make them look really pretty. But when I know that we're just smoking it, we're using it for the medicine, and I don't mind a little off taste here and there. I'm going to utilize as much as the plant as I can, and I don't worry about a little sugar leaf here or there. So you can do a loose trim, you can do a really nice trim, you can do a in between kind of trim. It's totally up to you. What are some of the best shears out there to use? I like Diamond Cut Co. and TMB Naturals. Those are the two top for me. TMB Naturals have these curved tip ones that are really cool. Diamond Cut Co. just make really amazing quality blades. Both companies are great. So there's lots of options for trimming shears out there. You can literally go to your local garden center and probably find a pair. So you'll definitely want, when you're trimming, you're going to want a little cup of isopropyl alcohol ready with some paper towels so that you can wipe the blades off every so often. Before you wipe the blades off, though, a lot of growers, what they'll do is they'll actually take like a little razor blade and they'll razor the extra hash off the blades and create like a little hash pile. And that's called scissor hash. And that's what I'll throw that into the bags that I use, or I'll put that into its own little container and I'll infuse that when I do my infusions with the magical butter machine, which we'll talk about here soon. So basically you just want to do a nice trim and then you're going to be jarring. And so there's a lot of different ways that people cure nowadays. Obviously the Cannatrol is probably the high top end unit that you can potentially get. And it's amazing. You should, if you are going to snag one, check out the Autoflower review. They have a discount code or a link thing on their website to save you guys some money. And yeah, so that's cool. So check out the autoflowerreview.com and, you know, go do that. Cannatrols are not the purchase that most everyday growers get, but most growers who get into growing realize how much the Cannatrol can actually save them in the long run. And I've had about 15 to 20 people since I've been utilizing mine and posting pictures send me a lot of love for the ones that they purchased and saying that they really love their Cannatrol. So I'm going to just go ahead and say the Cannatrol is probably the easiest solution to everything I just talked about. I have clipped my stems and just set them straight into the Cannatrol like I was told I was able to do. And we're going to find out what that's like, if I need to adjust any dew points, clip any excess branches, leaves off, or clip the branches smaller. If there's any adjustments that I need to make to make the bud perfect, or more perfect next time, I will let you guys know. But the smells are pretty, I mean, I opened that Cannatrol and our whole house smells like a nice skunk smell. So it's definitely, it's doing its thing. But other than that, if you're not going to use a Cannatrol or you're not going to use like a C-Vault, which is another product that I'll be reviewing as well, you're going to probably use mason jars like most growers. And the one thing about mason jars is if you don't have a relative humidity in your atmosphere that's literally perfect for the jar itself and you're burping the jars like ridiculously, you're going to want to get some sort of two-way packs that are humidity packs. I think it's like the 62% two-way humidity packs by Bovita or Integra. Either one of those, just understand this. You should replace your packs every 30 days because the packaging that it comes in breaks down naturally. And whatever's inside of it can potentially leach into the bud. There have been studies done on that. I don't know how harmful it is. I truly don't. I know I don't want to ingest something that's like a little silica packet type thing. You know, you're not supposed to eat those salt packets and stuff like that. So I don't want to ingest that. So just know that every 30 days you should be changing your packs out of your jars. And roughly at the 30-day to 60-day mark, you won't even need to be using those packs anymore. Your jar should have a self-contained environment good enough for them. So the way that you burp your jars once you put them in the jar is important. So you're trying to create a perfect atmosphere inside these jars at 62% humidity, roughly. I think that's about the perfect range. And you want to keep it that 68 degree Fahrenheit to 72 degree Fahrenheit temperature on the cooler side. So definitely 65 to 68 degrees Fahrenheit is definitely more ideal. 68 degrees, I think, is like the perfect mark for that. So you want to keep your jars there. You want to store your jars in a dark, cool place. Okay. So you don't want to store your jars in light. Light can degrade terpenes. And so we don't want that. You're going to burp your jars 2 to 3 times every single day for the first week. You're going to burp your jars 2 to 3 times every other day the second week. You're going to burp your jars 1 to 2 times every 2 to 3 days The third week, you're going to burp your jars 1 to 2 times every 3 to 4 days. The fourth week, and then by the fifth week, you're burping your jars once a week. By the sixth week, you're burping your jars once every other week. So sixth and seventh week, you can kind of stagger. And then by the eighth week, you should be burping your jars once every 2 to 3 weeks. By the 60-day mark, you should be able to burp your jars just once a month. So that's the proper storage to curing. There's a really, really great guy on Instagram, Shark Mouse Farms, who has like, dude goes into the whole scientific study. He's far beyond my knowledge on the actual like numbers and everything of properly curing. So if you're more interested in seeing like a written out description on an Instagram post, he has a lot of cool posts on that. So go show him some love. But he also uses Ecanitrol as well, so he can talk about how he stores and just how he cures and all that fun stuff. So curing is kind of the science behind keeping your medicine perfectly. You spent all those months doing everything, and now basically drying and curing can ruin it all. So if you have an improper dry, you can get what's known as a hay smell. That hay smell may not affect the potency or medical benefits, but it will absolutely affect the taste, flavor, and just enjoying the bud, right? So like you grew bud that smelled a certain way and now it smells like hay and tastes like hay. That sucks. Then if you don't do a proper dry on, let's say you overdried it, well, that hay smell can come too. And that can actually affect the medical benefits and everything. So that could be super detrimental. It can make crinkly bud, harsh bud, really rough bud to smoke. If you don't dry it enough, you can cause botrytis to basically happen in the jar, mold, bud rot, because humidity is kept in the jar and all of a sudden, boom, that humidity sits in a spot, mold starts to develop, mold spores start to develop, and now that jar is ruined. No, do not smoke moldy bud and do not smoke the bud in the jar with the moldy bud. That's disgusting. And mold spores can, it's spores, okay? So if you don't know anything about spores, spores can spread very rapidly. I don't suggest it. That's me. So that's the first part, drying, how drying can mess your stuff up. And then let's say you do drying perfectly, but you mess up the cure. An improper cure can cause a hay smell. A improper cure can also cause bud rot. If you don't burp the jars properly, you can keep too much moisture in the jar and cause bud rot. So both phases, both stages are important, okay? So there are a lot of products out there to help growers with these stages. Like I said, the Canitrol is probably the most expensive. It's so far from every grower, including myself, from just using it. And my full use will be here once I have the cure stage fully done and I pull these plants out, trim them, and get them looking and, do a taste test and all that fun stuff. But from every grower that I know that has a Canitrol, it's 2 thumbs up, 10 stars, okay? Or 5 stars, whatever you want to say. 10 out of 10, 5 stars, 2 thumbs up. The Sea Vaults, I've seen several posts now of them. They work great. They're big stainless steel, like colander type things. Not colander, but they're like bowl type things that are like, you can lock them. They're airtight and they have built-in Boveda pack things for big Boveda packs. Really great. Okay. Wonderful. That rocks. That's super awesome. I'm about to test those out as well. So we'll see how those work for home growers and fixing, like basically being big mason jars that are not see-through, they're airtight, they're safe. I think they're pretty fire retardant. So there's different options now. I mentioned that Herbs Now dryer as one of the dryer things. That was mentioned to me because it's like a 4-day drying thing. The smell is crazy from what I understand. Your house does reek, so you need to put it in a tent or something that you can monitor the smell with. But that is one that I will potentially try to get my hands on and test out. But like I said, I'm testing the Canitrol, and I really, really love the Canitrol for a drying and curing unit. We're going to see how it does. I'm all about it. I've been pro Canitrol since I interviewed Dave and Jane Sandelman. And they're such cool people. If you don't know, David and Jane are the owners of and the minds behind the Cannatrol. And I did a full podcast with them, and they're going to be coming on the Autoflower Review Show to do a follow-up podcast. It's been almost a full year, I believe, just roughly over a year. And I've had the Cannatrol now for, I think, just about a month and a half. I'll be doing my full in-depth review of the Cannatrol as soon as I pull these plants out on my YouTube. That's going to be a full in-depth, you know, showcase overview. Any adjustments I need to make, my review of my how I did using the unit, because its user error can be a problem. So I'm excited to bring that, and you, all of you growers, will get to listen to everything they have to say. So you'll understand why I kind of rant and rave about the Cannatrol, because when you start growing and when you start drying and curing your bud, you're going to realize that there might be times where you either work late, you go on vacation, or something happens. Just your humidifier, you forgot to fill up, you went to bed, you had a couple drinks with your significant other, and you passed out early, and you just forgot to check. And then all wham bam, now you have hay smell, and your crop is ruined. And that crop is all your plants. Okay, you have all four plants hang drying in there, or all six plants, or whatever you have. That costs a lot of money. If you're taking into electricity, utility cost, water, all that stuff, plus nutrient cost, grow medium, all the time it took the lights, the wear and tear on your lights and your tent, everything, for all the weeks that it takes to grow a plant, sometimes investing in certain products after the fact, whether it be a Cannatrol or whether it be in Herbs Now or just a simple, like the Sea Vault thing, or like they make those little like hang dryer things now that are like the little rack dryers for people that have small spaces. So whatever product it be, on whatever budget it may be, getting some of these products can help aid in your process going through and learning these stages, because it's not a simple, easy, you know, you just set the room to a temperature one day and bam, it's that easy. No, the bud is expelling moisture every single day. So it's a constant influx and deflux of humidity and temperature. So a lot of times people usually have tents that are on AC Infinity setups that are monitoring the actual atmosphere, and their fans are going on and off based on the humidity or the temperature that is being sensed by the sensors. Now, that's why I said there's, when you're thinking about all these things to purchase, how much money it could cost. That's why I say, on a grand scheme of things, purchasing products like a Cannatrol, it actually saves you thousands of dollars. So when you get into growing, and if it's growing something you love and you're really passionate about it, and you're having issues with a dry cure stage at any point, you should look into one of the more expensive products, whatever it may be, to try to help aid that stage that you're having troubles with. Because believe me when I say, you're not alone. I talk to dozens and dozens and dozens of growers who literally are losing hundreds and hundreds of dollars, thousands, okay? And they're getting extremely discouraged. They want to quit growing completely. And I help them dial in things. We get them harvesting and properly drying and curing once. And they realize, okay, they can do it. They just, there's a lot to it. And I'll tell you what, most of those growers either go and snag a product to help them with the thing that they were messing up, and then they're much happier, or they'll just go straight up grab a Cannatrol. And that's been like 10 people so far. So this wasn't just a go snag a Cannatrol episode, but after talking about the, you know, dry cure stage, all the variables, all the factors, how much money you could lose, everything that you're investing. And if you're doing it for, let's say you're doing it for someone with cancer, epilepsy, or anything that's serious, you don't have the money or the time to afford that loss. So that's why I say, look into products that are on your, in your budget, look into things that may save you money. It might be an expense right now. Maybe you start saving up and you realize, okay, you know, it seems like a chunk of change, but I'm spending $120 every month on electricity. I'm spending $50 on water. I'm spending this much on soil. I break it down. This is how much these plants cost. And this is just one grow. And this much of an investment for a drying unit, curing unit thing will actually save me money over the span of all these harvests. So look at things like that when you're purchasing.
like an Autopot system or these various systems to help you, that's, they kind of are a little more expensive out the gate. Break them down across grows and add your electricity and utility costs and all that into it. And you'll realize, oh shit, these things are actually going to help take those costs down. So that's my little spiel for how to harvest, when to harvest, how to dry, how to cure, all that. Now we're going to get into a little bit of tips and tricks into the extraction side of things. So what is the easiest way to make concentrate? Well, the easiest way is probably to get yourself a rosin press. There are tons and tons and tons of brands out there. And all these different brands have different plates, different things. I personally, I like Nug Smasher. Okay, they're an American-made brand. They have lifetime warranty, and they make great products for fairly affordable prices, all different sizes, okay? They have a buyback program, which is really wonderful. So if you do want to upgrade your rosin press, and you're like, you know what, I want to get the next one. I don't really want this one anymore. They'll buy it back for 50% of what you paid. So that's amazing. So you know at least you're getting 50% of your money back towards a upgrade if you feel like upgrading it. So that's cool. So now when it comes to things, like I've said many a times on this podcast and my other podcast, supporting brands is just your personal choice. Okay. Supporting companies is your personal choice. I prefer to support brands that stand by their products. And when they make everything in-house and they're guaranteeing a lifetime warranty, that means they without a doubt know that their product's probably not going to break within a lifetime. And they're pretty proud of that, not having to spend thousands and thousands of dollars on recalls. So says a lot for a brand, says a lot for a company. That's just what I like. Rosin press is probably the easiest. Now, how do we get to pressing rosin? Pressing straight bud is a science. I don't recommend anyone doing it off the gate because you're probably not going to get what you want out of the press, and you're going to be really sad that you just ruined a bunch of bud. You have to have the right humidity, right moisture content, everything inside the bud for it to like ooze like the videos you see. That is down to a science where people are literally curing bud in machines like a Cannatrol, or what most people are doing are flash freezing their bud and then pressing. So like you're cutting down live bud, then you're bucking it, you're trimming what you need trimmed off, then you're putting it straight into a flash freezer that's like $12,000, and you're flash freezing it. Or some of these flash freezers are like $50,000, so they're extremely expensive. So certain extraction methods aren't the easiest way. So doing bud rosin, it's really tough at an in-home point. You really have to get it dialed in. So what I recommend instead, which is friendly to almost any bud with trichomes, as long as you have buds with proper trichomes and trichome heads and it's very frosty, you want to grow hash plants that are producing the lengthier bulbous heads, lengthier stems and more bulbous heads, and producing a vast amount, because those heads are going to break off those stems much easier when you go ahead and either do a bubble wash or a dry ice hash. Personally, I prefer dry ice hash. That's me. And I'm going to tell you why. If I had someone to make me bubble hash that knew what the hell they were doing, or I had the $100,000 setup that's required to have the $12,000 flash freezer, the $20,000 washer, all the stainless steel equipment, all the things, the micro. If I had all that, sure, I would bubble wash all the time. And I know some people will be like, you don't need all that. Well, if you don't have all that, it takes extreme amount of labor. Like my shoulder, I almost fully blew my shoulder out less than like 6 years ago snowboarding. So I don't feel like sitting there and stirring for 6 to 8 hours of my life. I will blow my shoulder out. It will be done. So I don't feel like doing bubble hash. And without a washer, even with a washer, it is still ridiculously laborious. I mean, you're dumping gallons of water all day. Do you know how much 5 gallons of water weighs? And some of these washers hold 10 gallons of water. There's no way in hell I'm dumping that much water. Listen, I love bubble hash. It tastes amazing. It freaking feels great. It smells wonderful. But for a average home grower to take a massive plant and wash that shit for like 8 hours to get a tiny yield because they don't know how what they're doing necessarily. They didn't do enough agitation. There wasn't enough moisture. I will go with dry ice hash all day long because you want to know why? I've never had one single person that I've taught do dry ice hash complain to me about the yield. They've always come back to me and said, damn, I got like twice as much as my bubble hash. And you know what? It may not taste as great, but it went much further and it felt the same. So now there's definitely a debate there because bubble hash really does have, it can have quite a lot more medical compounds than other forms of hash. So that's where it comes into play of the human mind and the placebo effect of like, wow, you just yielded all this hash and now you're smoking your own weed and it's really like, it tastes great and like, man, that was some frosty shit. Fuck yeah, this is good. So like, that's probably making up for some of like the it feels better effect because they didn't do as much labor to get at as quality of yield. So I am going to put that out there. The brain's a hell of a thing. And especially if you give someone like a sparkling alcohol where it tastes like alcohol, but it's fake, they could definitely act drunk because they think they're getting drunk. So that's been proven. So not to say bubble hash doesn't have those medical effects, but you know what? It feels pretty good to only have to do about 15 to 20 minutes, maybe 30 minutes of work max to yield twice as much as what you get with bubble hash using dry ice hash. So that's why I like dry ice hash. Dry ice is almost available everywhere, food grade wise. You can go to your local grocery store, and as long as you're not some crazy person trying to use it for crazy shit, you'll be able to purchase some dry ice. It's very simple. They sell it for like, you know, coolers and stuff all the time. You know, so you just get about 3 to 5 pounds of dry ice per ounce of product that you're using. And the great thing about dry ice hash is with bubble hash and all the other ones, you know how I was talking about those dew points and humidity and how you had to make sure you bucked and trimmed it perfectly. Everything was perfect with it. You don't even have to worry about it with dry ice hash because guess what? You literally are going to dry and cure your bud. So it's going to be trimmed and everything. And then you're going to freeze it. And if you don't want to dry and cure it, here's what this is what Mitchell Gorgachuk of Visionary Hydroponics or Hydro Bucket actually told me when I was chatting with him. He calls it zombie hash. And I've done this before. I've never called it zombie hash. I didn't know what it was called. I just kind of like did it as like my attempt at live hash. So if you want a live rosin type feeling, because live means you cut down the plant within 24 to 48 hours, you are processing it. Well, we do what's known as zombie hash. And that's where you cut down your plant. You hang it for about 2 to 4 days, getting it just perfect on that like humidity. Then you freeze it. Then you process it. And so within 5 to 6 days, it's fully processed. And it's like a zombie hash. You know, it's technically a plant is alive for, I think it's 3 days or 4 days off cutting stem. I believe I'm pretty sure that's what it is. So it's technically like a zombie. It's a little dead, but it's like alive. You know what I'm saying? So there is an actual study that shows that doing that, it provides an increase of up to 12 to 20% of extra cannabinoids within your product. So having live rosin, it's like 60% extra cannabinoids. That's why live rosin is so expensive, because live product does have a lot more medical benefits and components. So doing a zombie hash is super simple. You could just throw all your product in the freezer. Then you just get a micron bag. I use a 120 micron bag. Or a 220 micron bag. Yeah. I always get shit for it. I like the wider micron bags. It's easier. I don't have to shake as long. And the trichomes fall through easier. That's just my thing. I break the dry ice up into about, I would say, 2 to 3 inch pieces. Just like big old ice cube chunks. And you're going in a circular motion as you kind of shake up and down. You're creating like a washer effect inside. You don't want to beat up the product with the cubes. You want to wash it around so the product freezes and the trichome heads are freezing off. And you'll literally see it dump out on whatever you're shaking the hash onto. I recommend some sort of tray or counter that is good for hash, like a granite countertop that you can clean and things like that. I have many videos on my YouTube channel. If you want to see my dry ice hash videos, I have one of the most viewed videos on YouTube. Actually, it's almost 1 million views right now. So that's cool. So if you want to learn, there's lots of there. I have lots of dry ice hash how to's on my channel, updated ones, old ones, different plant ones, using the one that has like the 800,000 views or whatever. That was literally an ounce of trim. So you can see what trim can get you from using dry ice hash. So that's why I prefer dry ice hash. It takes about 15 to 20 minutes of your time. You're literally shaking for about a minute and a half to 2 minutes based on the micron bag you're choosing. The lower microns are going to take a little more shake time. But once you shake your product and you get to the color clarity that you want, and that's the cool thing with this is as you shake, you can shake in different spots to get the different color clarity. If you want the blonde hash to the tan hash to the tan green to the green, like you can do it all. I shown how to make hash balls, hash bars, all that fun stuff. I shown how to do it on the press where you press your hash at 100 degrees and basically shape it and create the hardened shell to encase it and solidify it and basically create the curing on the inside like the Frenchy cannoli tech with the water bottle and stuff. Same principle, same method. I'll be showcasing the water bottle method here in the future. I've had a lot of people ask, but that's a simple extraction and hash method. The final method or item that I'm going to recommend anyone get for themselves is a magical butter machine. I think they are absolutely phenomenal. I think they're one of the best products ever made. I've used them I bought my fiance a magical butter machine many years ago, and we have infused so much with it. It's very simple. The new ones come with like recipe books and all sorts of instructions and everything. So it's literally as simple as clicking a button and adding your stuff that you need to do. The most amount of work from any type of herb infusion is decarbing the herb or decarbing the concentrate that you're using to infuse with. So, but they have a decarb kit that comes with it. And just so you know, when you decarb bud in the oven, it does stink up your house. So be wary of that and just know. Well, that was pretty much it for today's episode. There's really not too much to talk about other than that. Definitely check out my Instagram if you want to check out the Canitrol and just the other stuff that I talked about that I post pictures of. So you can see trichome shots and various things like that. And if you have any questions, again, the Autoflower Review Discord is where I hang out and you can tag me and ask questions and, you know, get more in-depth education on anything that we talk about on this podcast. So without further ado, be sure to smash that like button, comment down below any questions you have, and hit that subscribe button or follow along from whichever platform to show the sponsors of the show, Atlas Seed and the Autoflower Review, some major love. I have a fruit by the foot going by Atlas, so you guys are going to be seeing how that lovely autoflower comes along. So without further ado, I'm Chronic from the Cannabis Chronicles, and I'll be back every single Monday with a brand new episode of Reviewing Ruderalis. Much love, happy growing, and peace, everyone.